Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Yes, once again, that is the sound of rock cracking, and you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. And that sound of rock cracking, that could be the new polls taking place, because last week we heard the second Republican debate for the presidency of the United States. And we're going to be talking about that and playing some clips in this week's show. Before we get to that, I got to go back to last week's show and give you an update. We've talked about the perils of what's happening in a world where America leads from behind. And even as our show was playing last week, we had Vladimir Putin of Russia going into Syria, not only sending troops, but sending tanks. And we heard that the flyover, they were flying big transport planes, Russian transport planes over Bulgaria. So the administration, the Obama administration, told Bulgaria to stop letting them fly over. They did. So now, what are they doing? They're coming over Iraq. They're coming right over Iraq. We tell Iraq, don't let it happen. They're letting it happen because they're coming over Iran and Iraq, and they're laughing in America's face. And they're building up in Syria. They're not going there to defeat ISIS anymore than they're propping up Assad. They are there to prop up the strong man, the dictator Assad. Assad will owe his life and the life of his regime to Russia. But they're not stopping there. Vladimir Putin's got this like a chessboard. And when we need strong American leadership, we have the President of the United States. He won't talk about why Iran and Iraq are letting Russia just fly over and use their airspace, and because he can't talk about that in public. Why? Because he is the one that did no agreement, got all the troops out of Iraq, and we could have left an air force, a base, a small contingent, and we could control the airspace over Iraq. And we could tell Russia, no, you don't fly over. We wouldn't have to. They wouldn't even try if we had an air base there. But no, our president, our commander-in-chief, and his brilliant, and I'm saying that sarcastically, but in the looking at the international situation, we're hurting because of a poor decision. ISIS is in charge because of a poor decision. They're in charge of large swaths of land in Iraq and Syria. They're working in Libya. Who's talking about Libya? That was the war. That was Obama's war of choice. He helped destroy the country in Libya, got rid of Gaddafi, and now what we have? We have ISIS growing in Libya. So these are things we have to talk about before we get to the presidential debate, because it's happening now and it's affecting the Middle East. And as I was saying, Vladimir Putin is not content on just shoring up an old friendship in Syria and keeping Assad in power. He's telling and sending a message to Saudi Arabia, to Egypt, to Turkey, and all these countries in the Middle East. You can depend on me. You can depend on Russia. You can't depend on the United States. And why did I bring Turkey into that? Because Turkey is a NATO member. Turkey is a member of NATO, has been. Putin wants to destroy NATO. He wants to leave it impotent. He wants to leave it where NATO is just a speck of what it used to be. And where is President Obama? Where how is he doing anything to stop Putin? Putin is laughing at our president. Putin is laughing at America. He's laughing at us and doing what he wants to in the Middle East. And it's a sad day for American diplomacy, a sad day for American power. It's a sad day to say America is still leading from behind. And that's why it makes the Republican debate so much important. It is so important to make sure we find a leader who will be strong for America, strong for our country. And I think Ben Carson said some good things the other night about not always having to be muscular strong, but being strong with intellect and intellectually strong in making international decisions. He brought that up in the debate. And we're going to talk about the debate. And that's, I guess, that's the best thing to do is go ahead and get into it. But I want you to know that Putin is still treating President Obama like he's not even there. He's not listening to him. He's laughing at our president. And the world is not safer because of that. In the presidential debate, let me just set it up for you. We got some clips. We're going to play some. But I do want you to understand that it was a long debate. It was 3 hours long. I thought it was going to be 2 hours. And it went on another hour. And I think it was good. It helped us thresh out the different players on stage there. There were 11 on stage. Now, they did have that little mini debate. It was only 4 in the mini debate because Governor Gilmore of Virginia didn't get enough to qualify. He didn't have 1%. And then Carly Fiorina got on the stage, so there were the 11 on CNN's main stage. So saying all that, let's take a listen to this, and then you'll get Doc Holliday's perspective on the debate. And this is being played on the week of September 21st, but let me assure you, this was fresh off the right off the debate time. As soon as the debate was over, these are Doc Holliday's inputs. I hadn't listened to the pundits, and by now they may be saying all kind of things and pushing things. You're getting the very best of Doc Holliday the way I see it. May not be the way you saw it. May surely won't be the way a lot of the political gurus that you see on television and all the different networks talking. But I'm going to tell you some things you may not have noticed. Stay tuned. Take a listen to this first.
The story was an American and a Russian arguing about their two countries. And the American said, look, in my country, I can walk into the Oval Office, I can pound the president's desk and say, Mr. President, I don't like the way you're running our country. And the Russian said, I can do that. The American said, you can? He says, yes. I can go into the Kremlin, to the General Secretary's office, pound his desk and say, Mr. General Secretary, I don't like the way President Reagan's running his country.
Now, that, of course, was President Ronald Reagan, and that's why we love Ronald Reagan. He could laugh at himself. He had a strong, sure voice and a sense of he wanted to make America great. And the presidential debate that last week, it was at the Ronald Reagan Library. In fact, they had the candidates in front of the Air Force One that was retired to the museum. Well, retired to the Reagan Center right there in California. So I wanted to play that clip to remember why so many people love Ronald Reagan. I'm talking about the little people. I'm talking about the Reagan Democrats, not just Republicans, but the Reagan Democrats. And on the stage, Ben Carson reminded everybody. Now, this is Ben Carson, the pediatric neurosurgeon. He said that at one time he was a flaming liberal Democrat until he started listening to the governor of California named Ronald Reagan. And so a lot of his political philosophy, his principle, came from listening and watching Ronald Reagan. So I thought that was interesting that he would bring that out. And it was, I think, it's very appropriate right there in front of the former Air Force One and at the Reagan Center. So I do want to say that we're about to get in some clips and talk about the debate. Overall, well, let me play some clips, and toward the end of the show, I'm going to give you my whole thoughts about who won, who didn't, what people needed to say. So let's play this clip first. I can't play all the clips. It was 3 hours. I can't play everybody on this show, but I'm going to talk about what they said. But first, let me play this clip. I had a little bit from Trump was challenging Rubio. And in fact, they were asking Trump, well, you don't know all these names and people, the different leaders. And so Rubio went on and talked about how important it was to know the international scene. And I just got through telling you, first of the show, what's going on with Vladimir Putin in Syria. So this is very important discussion. Let's listen to some of Marco Rubio's response to Donald Trump right now.
Your question. I mean, you are in the Senate, but I hope that answers your question.
Well, it does, but then it's the following way. This is an important question. I think if you're running for president, these are important issues, because look around the world today. There is a lunatic in North Korea with dozens of nuclear weapons and a long-range rocket that can already hit the very place in which we stand tonight. The Chinese are rapidly expanding their military. They hack into our computers. They're building artificial islands in the South China Sea, the most important shipping lane in the world. A gangster in Moscow is not just threatening Europe, he's threatening to destroy and divide NATO. You have radical jihadists and dozens of, they even recruit Americans using social media to try to attack us here at home. And now we've got this horrible deal with Iran where a radical Shia cleric with an apocalyptic vision of the future is also guaranteed to one day possess nuclear weapons and also a long-range rocket that can hit the United States. These are extraordinarily dangerous times that we live in. And the next president of the United States better be someone that understands these issues and has good judgment about them. Because the number one issue that a president will ever confront and the most important obligation that the federal government has is to keep this nation safe. And today, we are not doing that. We are eviscerating our military, and we have a president that is more respectful to the Ayatollah in Iran than he is to the Prime Minister of Israel.
Now, that was Marco Rubio, and he went on. I let him go on with that because I told you we can't play everybody's response, everybody in a three-hour debate. You have to go listen to it. But I wanted to bring this out. Why? Very important to hear this is because when Marco Rubio told all those things, I think everybody on that stage agreed with what he said. Now, it shows that Marco Rubio was up. He'd done his studying, and I think he has. He's had to make decisions in the Senate votes, but he's done his studying. And I don't look at this and I don't play this as saying Marco Rubio is better than anybody else. I'm saying everybody on that stage, even though Donald Trump was maybe not, won't mention all the names, but I think all 11 on that stage and the four that debated before them would agree with this. I'm saying we got a strong Republican field of candidates that understands the deplorable conditions that is going to be left to next president by our existing president of the United States. Now, what I wanted you to see is how Rubio brought that together very quickly. Now, Trump had to respond, and let's listen to what Trump said next.
Mr. Trump, Senator Rubio seemed to be suggesting that you don't know information.
No, I don't think he's suggesting that at all. I mean,
are
I
you,
just
Senator Rubio?
I don't think he's
suggesting
that.
Well, that's why we have
that.
A debate. I think that we should have a deeper debate about these issues because there is no more important decision that a president will make.
But are you saying that you have the knowledge to be the president that Mr. Trump does not
have? Well, you should ask him questions in detail about the foreign policy issues our president will confront because you better be able to lead our country on the first day. Not 6 months from now, not a year from now. On the first day in office, our president could very well confront a national security crisis. You can't predict it. Sometimes you cannot control it. And it is the most, the federal government does all kinds of things it's not supposed to be doing. It regulates bathrooms. It regulates schools that belong to local communities. But the one thing that the federal government must do, the one thing that only the federal government can do, is keep us safe. And a president better be up to date on those issues on his first day in office, or on her first day in office.
That's Jake Tapper of the CNN moderator of the debate and trying to bring in Donald Trump. And in just a minute, I'm going to let you hear what Donald Trump said. But I wanted to pick this out because it is so important. Out of all the things everybody's saying about our next president, we have to protect the American citizens. And Donald Trump said, I don't think he was attacking me. And Marco Rubio wasn't. He's going to let Trump speak for himself. But Trump recognized, I think everybody recognizes, the Republicans, going back to what Rubio said in the first debate, God has blessed the Republicans with great candidates, a whole bunch of them, and the Democrats don't have a one. But I think that's, we're seeing some growth and building relationships. Donald Trump said after it was all over that they were building relationships and they seem to be on more friendly terms, even though he's going to fire back at them. And Donald Trump will say something about Marco Rubio in this section. See if you can catch it.
Mr. Trump.
Well, you have to understand, I am not sitting in the United States Senate with, by the way, the worst voting record there is today, number one. I am not sitting in the United States Senate. I'm a businessman doing business transactions.
Okay.
I am doing business transactions. I will know more about this. And as you said, that was very acceptable. And when you listened to that whole interview, it was a great interview. You said it. I didn't.
Yeah.
Look, well, Just one second.
I never get addressed.
I will know more about the problems of this world by the time I sit. And you look at what's going on in this world right now by people that supposedly know this world is a mess.
Senator Rubio,
if you've been listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, what Donald Trump said, it doesn't surprise you. He's agreeing with what Doc Holliday has been saying. This world is a mess. But let's hear Marco Rubio say something back.
He did invoke your absentee record in the Senate.
I'm proud to serve in the United States Senate. You know, when I ran 5 years ago, the entire leadership of my party in Washington lined up against me. But I'm glad I won, and I'm glad that I ran, because this country's headed in the wrong direction. And if we keep electing the same people, nothing is going to change. And you're right, I have missed some votes, and I'll tell you why, Mr. Trump. Because in my years in the Senate, I figured out very quickly that the political establishment in Washington, D.C., in both political parties, is completely out of touch with the lives of our people. You have millions of people in this country living paycheck to paycheck, and nothing's being done about it. We are about to leave our children with $18 trillion in debt, and they're about to raise the debt limit again. We have a world that grows increasingly dangerous, and we are eviscerating our military spending and signing deals with Iran. And if this thing continues, we are going to be the first Americans to leave our children worse off than ourselves.
Now, that's Marco Rubio defending what Donald Trump said. You're number one in the Senate. What was Donald Trump talking about? Marco Rubio has missed more votes than any other United States senator. So Marco Rubio defended himself. You heard him say that. And he got to Washington and saw so many people were in it for the party, the politics, whatever. And it wasn't for the American people, the people out there living paycheck to paycheck. So he said that's why he's running for president. That's why he's been missing votes on the Senate floor to give everything to this race for the presidency. So those are some things you say, well, why are you had 11 people in all this debate? I had to pick out something. There's 3 hours, and I think everybody ought to listen to what everybody had to say, and even in a pre-debate with the other four. But I wanted to single this out because you need to hear Rubio's heart, not because he's better than anybody else, but the heart of the Republican Party is beating there in front of Air Force One that Ronald Reagan used internationally. America must be strong to be protected and to make sure we can live the American dream to its fullest. And I wanted you to hear that. And in just a minute, we're going to break down what others said and talk. I'm going to talk to you about what Doc Holliday thinks and where are we going. Where does Doc Holliday see this? Now it's a 16-piece Republican field. Where's it going? How is it going to winnow down? Well, we're going to talk about that right after this from Doc Holliday. All right, folks, I've told you it's coming. The book is here. the new book called Bedrock Truths. And everybody that's listening to the CNN Republican presidential debate last week should have this book. They should have it and ask questions from it. But it's not just my book. I co-author with Dr. Alveda King and also Dr. Alex McFarland. It's called Bedrock Truths, 8 Uncompromising Principles for America Now. We wrote this book, thought about it, knowing the 2016 elections would be coming up. We wanted conservatives that would not compromise on basic conservative principles that are good for this nation and good for the soul of America. So check out the book. You can go right there on the front page of my website right there on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Click on the cover of the new book, Bedrock Truths. It'll take you where you can order the book on Doc Holliday's website called DocHolliday.org. DocHolliday.org. You can order my other books, but I want you to get this new book. And because you are listening right now, we are having free shipping for I don't know how long, but to kick it off, you order it now, you get free shipping. We'll send it to you in the United States internationally. You probably won't go through Amazon when they get it up and going there at Amazon, which should be soon. But we're glad to introduce the book, Bedrock Truths to America. Get your copy and get one for your friend. Get one for your neighbor. We need to get this book out. It's getting you prepared for how should you vote? Who are you going to vote for to lead America? Get the book, Bedrock Truths, by Doc Holliday, Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland. Get it today.
Today marks my first State of the Union address to you, a constitutional duty as old as our republic itself. President Washington began this tradition in 1790 after reminding the nation that the destiny of self-government and the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty is finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. For our friends in the press who place a high premium on accuracy, let me say, I did not actually hear George Washington say that.
And again, you see why we still love Ronald Reagan, and he could be accurate, make you feel great to be an American, teach you something about history, and then give a good joke, even about himself. And that's, will we find another Ronald Reagan? No, we're not looking for another Ronald Reagan. He was Ronald Reagan. But we need a leader that's not afraid to stand up and be like Ronald Reagan. Stand up and let America show its best and to lead the world and to make sure countries understand the resolve of the American spirit, resolve of American freedom. And that's what the world's not seeing now. So I do want to say this, as far as the debate, there was a lot said, and from so many of the different ones, I thought it was very, very funny, and gave some mention at the end. They asked all 11 candidates up there what if they talked about, like President Reagan's Secret Service code name was Rawhide. And so we know that they said, what would you want to be your Secret Service name? And the different ones gave different names, but they asked Donald Trump, and he said, humble. And everybody laughed. He smiled, but he said a lot when he said humble. Okay, but that was Donald Trump. Now, what else about the debate? They went domestic policies. Ben Carson, they got him on talking about his tax. He said he thought 10% because that's what God did. And somebody may think, wow, that's way off. He's copying what God said, a tenth, a tithe. And then, but Rand Paul said he had a tax of like 14.5%, that just one tax, get rid of the payroll taxes, get rid of all taxes except for one flat 14.5% tax that'll go across the board. And so Rand Paul has something just requiring a little bit more than what God requires. So where do we go on the debate? We're talking about God. Mike Huckabee's talking about how he stood up for the clerk in Kentucky and said, can we not carve out something that and accommodate a Christian clerk in Kentucky if she feels oppressed by signing a marriage license for two men or two women? And Mike Huckabee is making the presentation that, yes, there should be, if we can accommodate the terrorist in Guantanamo Bay who killed Americans, if we can accommodate them, surely we can accommodate a clerk in Kentucky. If we can accommodate the Fort Hood terrorist who killed American soldiers, surely if we can accommodate him to let him grow his beard for religious reasons in jail, surely we can accommodate a Christian clerk. So that doesn't mean you can't give out the marriage license, but that's law. But if she feels that it's against her personal religion belief in such a way that somebody else could offer, that's what they're doing right now. But there should be a way to make accommodations for those things. That's what Mike Huckabee is saying. Look, the debate was 3 hours long. I have not even touched the surface of a lot of areas. This is what I want you to understand. How's the second debate playing out in the polls? Now, you'll start seeing poll numbers this week. I'm not privileged to seeing those, even over the weekend. We're getting a show together, and I know it's starting on September 21st. But this is what I see from the raw material. Just listen to the debate. And I feel like America is in good shape with the Republican Party. Let me say that right up front. And I was glad to see a lot of the candidates knock Hillary Clinton and her inability to tell the truth, knock the state. This, you know, you listen to the White House and you think, wow, we got a glowing economy. Everything's going great. Talk about the people who are hurting, and Rubio hit it, living paycheck by paycheck. So many people hit so many good notes. We have a good Republican field. I'm proud of them, and I think the debates are good and healthy for America and for the Republican Party. I thought overall we got to see more of everyone. I thought Ben Carson had to come out and flesh out some policies. He did that. He actually did that. And talking to them, they challenged him on immigration and what his policy was. And he explained it better than what Jake Tapper or whoever is moderating was trying to put in his mouth. And you have to watch liberal reporters. We know that CNN, they are asking questions that they want to have gotcha moments in a general election. And so I don't particularly like exactly all that CNN did, but they did get Hugh Hewitt, a conservative commentator, a conservative columnist, to help. He chimed in with questions. I do want to say this. The polling, wherever it goes, this is my gut feeling thought. I think everybody did better than the last debate. I think Rand Paul is right on the edge of being pushed out. Now, if he can get his presidential firepower and team going, I don't know. He stands. I like the way he stands, but he's not picking up steam with voters, it doesn't seem like. So I don't know if he really helped his cause. He stood strong in his beliefs, but I don't know if he helped his cause any. Now, I think that Donald Trump, we're seeing him. He was maybe a little more subdued. It's 3 hours. He probably got tired. Everybody did. They started out with some high energy toward Donald Trump. But what we're seeing is, I think that he's probably not going to be knocked down. It's not like anybody just knocked him out. But I think other people are going to say they're going to start liking some other candidates. Are we going to see his numbers go down a little? Is it going to stay steady or trim down? I don't see him going skyrocket high. I don't ever think Trump's going to get over that 50% mark. We'll have to wait and see. Ben Carson had really come in strong since that first debate. Now, he didn't even hardly get questions in the first debate. So how? Well, he's out there working hard. He's pushing it. But we've talked about on this show, Trump, Carson, Carly Fiorina, those three are outsiders, don't have Political experience. They don't have a political track record, but they're the top three polling in some polls. So what does that say? Well, it says we need a real tough debate, because if they want to be president of the United States, they need to stand their ground against some real sharp people on that stage. So let them get after each other. They need to. The press needs to. Let's put Ben Carson under the fire. Let's put Carly Fiorina under the fire. Let's put Donald Trump under the fire and see how they do in the crucible. And that's what we're seeing that. So where does it go from here? I do think that this next couple months, we're probably not going to see a lot falling out. Everybody thinks they can, as long as they can get enough money to try to hang into the first primaries. And see, Lindsey Graham, to me, is just hanging on by a thread. But he thinks, well, the South Carolina, it'll be Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, his home state. So he just thinks, if I can just get through that. So how much money is he spending? I don't know. But he can't have a big budget. He's not going to be able to get around a lot of places. But I will say this, as far as the people up there, Carly Fiorina, I like Carly. I think she's sharp. But you can watch this. The press, the liberal press, are going to be pushing her. I think they're going to try to push her in. They tried to get her and Trump to fight the other night. I think they both, Trump and Carly Fiorina, did good not airing out a fight. It's just what I think CNN wanted to see. So I think we will see Fiorina being pushed by the press, pushed by those who want to raise her up, because I think because they see her as someone who will battle Trump. I do think that Ted Cruz did not get near enough questions. He sat out almost a whole hour, I think, almost without being able to say anything. But when he did say things, I think he shows that he's incredibly smart and he's not afraid to stand for what he believes in. I think Scott Walker came out with more fire, but I don't think he's catching on with the people. There's something about Scott Walker where, even though you know he's been there, you think he's a good cabinet-level man. And you don't say anything bad. You just say he would make a good cabinet member. And he will. He will. So then Jeb Bush is the big, he is the key. This money, this experience, this the brain trust of the Bush family, does that get him back into the game? He has the money. Can he really build up his numbers again? I think you'll see a lot of advertising, because it's sort of now or never for Jeb Bush. And what you do see is John Kasich. Now, Jeb Bush is from Florida. So is Rubio. But John Kasich is from Ohio. And everybody knows Republicans need Ohio. And Kasich came out strong. I mean, he came out and really spoke in a way of a manner of leadership. I don't know if he's catching fire, sort of like Scott Walker, but I do believe Kasich will get more of the establishment money that he can build up and hang on to. So did we talk about all the candidates? No, we didn't get every one of them in. Wish we could get some sound clips, but we will follow what's going on. This is fresh from right after the debate. As the fallout comes out, we'll see how the poll numbers are doing. We'll talk about it next week. So until then, God bless you. And listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics to hear what you need to know about what's going on in these debates and what's going on as we select the next president of the United States. Don't forget to order the book, Bedrock Truths. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.